You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Est-ce qu'il y a faute sur Bale? Il est passé de toute façon. Il résiste à la faute de Bartra.
La punt with Mark Walton.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Euros Punt podcast from William Hill. We're looking ahead to the second of the semi-finals. It's the two heavyweights left in the competition as Germany take on France. Many people believe the winner of this will go on to win the Euros this time round. We'll be hearing from several pundits along the way, with Derek McGovern joining Dave Kellner. We also heard from Andrew Gibney and Stefan Biankowski. They will give us the French and German perspective respectively, and we'll get another edition of Country Files from Lee Phelps. Plenty to go out in this edition of the podcast, and we'll start as we usually do with a little bit of trivia. I'll ask you the question at the start of the podcast and I'll give you the answer at the end. Today's question: which country in Europe has the most McDonald's restaurants per capita? So which country in Europe has the most McDonald's restaurants per capita? I'll give you the answer to that at the end of the podcast, but let's get stuck into some of the previews then. Earlier in the week, Dave Kellner was joined by Derek McGovern, and let's hear Derek's thoughts on the second of the semi-finals when Germany meet France.
Semi-final number two of the Euros, and we have enhanced odds. Thomas Müller to score and Germany to win in 90 minutes was 19-5. Enhanced to 5-1, and Olivier Giroud to score and France to win in 90 minutes was 18-5, now 5-1. Derek, let's start by talking about Germany's win on penalties. Another German win on penalties in the quarter-final against Italy. Eventually prevailed 6-5 in that penalty shootout. But the penalty shootout, for the most part, Derek, was comical. And Zaza's run-up for his penalty was just the best thing ever. I think it was the best thing I've seen in the championship, Derek.
Like a little dressage pony, wasn't he, in the run-up? It was a joke. I mean, these things haven't changed, have they? You play a game of football, Germany win on penalties, and Joachim Löw, the manager, is still colouring in his hair with a magic marker. It's just things are always the same. I mean, that penalty shot for the Germans is unbelievable. In fact, I've heard that Joachim Löw, Diana Ross, has German grandparents ahead of this next game. Well, you just beyond belief, wasn't it? But they got through. That was their job. And you say this is the semi-final, but basically it's the final, isn't it? The winner of this wins it. I think they've got a bye in the final against Portugal or Wales. Real difficult one to call, this one. France are narrow favourites. That's because they're at home. The match is in Marseille, of course. And you have to say, you know, France have reached the semi-final mark almost without getting out of second gear, isn't it, really? Germany haven't had to get out of second gear, apart from the Italy game, because they've been gifted an easy route. So neither side have been particularly severely tested, Germany perhaps more so by the Italians. I find this a real difficult one to call. It's interesting that the draw is below the 2-1 mark.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand why you very rarely get that. Yeah. I can't make Germany out now, you know. You used to know it years ago, you'd have plays with harsh sounding names, didn't you? Like Struns and Kuntz and people like that. Now it's all fluffy, like Lahm and Cruz and Gomez. There's no Struns anymore. There's no all playing for England.
I'll have to cut that one out, I think, Derek.
Don't leave it in. I'd have to go for the draw in 90 minutes here. I think both sides are well capable of shutting up shop. You look at what sort of thing, and Germany up front, I'm not impressed by Germany up front. And then I look at France and I see Olivier Giroud, and I know he scored two goals the other night, but I'm not impressed by him up front either.
They'll be without Mario Gomez as well. It is well worth noting that, Germany, because Thomas Müller's been a bitter disappointment. I don't know how Thomas Müller does it, because if someone said to me, what are Thomas Müller's main attributes, I wouldn't have a clue. He just seems to score goals, but I don't know what he does.
But he doesn't even score goals now. That's it. He doesn't do anything. And that, you know, but he'd score goals. He'd be like the Van Nistelrooy. He doesn't do nothing, but he scored a goal, and that's why he's in the team. But when he's not scoring, what's he doing in the team? I've never seen him do anything that's impressed me. Not a single thing, Thomas Muller.
Now he's not scored a single goal in 10 games at the Euros. That goes back to the last Euros as well, obviously. And he's, despite getting 10 goals in 13 World Cup games, he missed his penalty in the shootout as well against Italy on Saturday.
That's right, yeah. You've got to be thinking of your Mario Götze, who has been disappointing, or even Lucas Podolski. You'd be thinking, what have I got to do to get a game in this team if these two clowns, if this clown's playing up front, Muller? Strange one. It's for that reason we're not going to go for Germany, because I just they don't impress me enough in the front line. At least France have got Griezmann, who looks a player. I'm still not having Giroud at top level. I think this is going to be a low score and draw. I wouldn't put anybody off the 0-0 in 90 minutes.
The 0-0 in 90 minutes available at 13-2. The betting has been, I suppose, a kind of a surprise, because when the market first opened, Germany were slight favourites to beat France, but that's switched around now and France are slight favourites. And I can understand why, because if you'd have priced this pre-tournament, France would have been pretty strong favourites against Germany, given they were tournament hosts. They've got that incredible record at home in major international tournaments. And Germany, I've been a little bit disappointed with Germany, despite their progress in the tournament. And France, I think the good thing for France in that quarter-final match is we softened Iceland up, didn't we, Derek, England? They made it easy for France.
Yeah, I mean, Iceland, it was a game too far for Iceland, wasn't it? Germany have had nothing to beat, have they? I mean, okay, in the quarterfinals, you got an Italy side that I fancied for my life because they played particularly well, but it was a non-game, that, wasn't it? It was a real scrappy game, and Italy never played, it didn't play their normal game. But you're right about France. I would have made them favourites as well. I'm surprised. I didn't realise what you just said there, that when the market opened.
Yeah, Germany opened slight favourites for them.
I'm very surprised at that. I'm very surprised. Again, you know, this is a close one to call. I've got no real strong view on this at all. It's a game to be watched rather than have a bet on it. In fact, you know, all I would do is just go under on the goals. If forced to have a bet on this, I'd go under on the goals, because I just can't see how it can possibly be with the puddings on in the front line for either side. I can't believe it's going to be a high score. It's only 13-8 under 1.5 goals. We normally get a 2-1 poke for that in the Premier League.
Yes, if you're talking about the 2.5 being the benchmark basically for 10-11 each of two.
Yeah, 4-9 under 2.5.
Yeah,
I'm too short, that, isn't it? So short.
I actually think we'll get goals in this game. I can see. The way the style of France's play suggests that I reckon we'll get an entertaining game here. And I'm not sure I can agree with you about the puddings on either side up front. I think Antoine Griezmann's a fabulous player.
Griezmann's a player, yeah.
He's a good player, isn't he?
Yes, I'll leave him out. But I'm talking about Giroud and Muller. And even Gomez, if he was playing. I mean, you know, these Germans got goals, but you wonder how. But yes, Griezmann's a player, and he's probably the most likely player to score for France. And I can't believe the stick Pogba gets. People saying he's been inconsistent. I've watched him every game, and he's a standout performer every time I've seen him play. Even when he got all kinds of slating for the first match, I thought, this guy's different class.
Yeah.
I mean, Man United must be kicking themselves for letting him go for peanuts. I think they let him go for free, didn't
it? It's one of Ferguson's big mistakes, isn't it, basically? And Pogba said that, I think he said this publicly, when he was there, he was treated like a second-class citizen by some of the senior players, and that soured his experience at Old Trafford.
Right, interesting. I mean, I noticed Ryan Giggs was on the TV last night singing Pogba's praises, so he's changed his tune a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, so the rumours are that they're going to try and sign Pogba back for a multi-million pound deal in excess of £50 million, that they're going for Pogba in the transfer market, apparently, Manchester United, which would be weird, but if they manage to get him, I think he'd be an incredible signing.
Well, yeah, given the signings they've made as well already, it's going to be a very interesting Premier League season, especially with Conte coming as well from Chelsea. I think they'll be a real force this season with him in charge.
Yeah, I agree. So you're going for 0-0 here, Derek?
Yeah, I am. Well, I'll go for under 1.5 goals at 13-8. At least it gives you one goal either side there.
So those are the thoughts of Derek McGovern then. joining Dave Kellner earlier in the week. Let's get another country file before we get stuck into some of the other previews. Lee Phelps continued his tour around Europe, and today's edition, he visits the Czech Republic.
Kvetou máky v poli a mě srdce bolí, že tam zaorali naše místo.
Welcome to the Czech Republic, where during Easter, women can expect to be spanked on the backside with a willow whip, and the men can expect to have cold water thrown on them. It's all part of a fertility rites ritual, which Czechs still strongly associate with Easter time. We can thank the Czech Republic for using fingerprints as ID, sugar cubes, Semtex explosives, and soft contact lenses. Beer has been brewed in this country since the year 1118, and the country has the highest beer consumption per capita in the world. Let's finish with a tennis one, being that it's Wimbledon this week. Czech-born tennis players have won 37 Grand Slams between them. Ivan Lendl and Martina Navratilova account for 26 of them.
Roste tam teď žito, a mně je to líto, že než bude pokosené, bude už zválené.
Superb. I'm going to miss those at the end of these podcasts. But there you go. If you like beer, tennis and sugar cubes, yep, go to the Czech Republic. That's Lee Phelps with another country file. Let's get back into the previews. Earlier on in the day, I spoke to Stefan Biankowski to look ahead to the game. He's going to give us the Germany perspective. And I started by asking him, at 15-8 second favourites in the match betting, are Germany now a tempting price?
Yeah, I mean, I think even going into the Italy game, I was actually convinced that that Italy team were perhaps the strongest team they could have faced, actually, by the time we got to the knockout rounds. And I'm still kind of that opinion. I actually think Italy were probably a better team than this French side. So going into the Italy game, I was a wee bit tried to be a bit balanced in terms of, you know, the how Germany could have done. But I think going into this France game, I think Loeb's probably a little more optimistic. I think France are far easier to figure out rather than Italy. Looking at the French side, they have some outstanding individual talents, but I think as a team, they're not really as coherent as Germany, and they have places that can be attacked, for example, in defence. I don't think a defensive line is anywhere near as good as a German one. And it has been breached by far lesser sides. So I think Germany will go into this game knowing exactly what they have to do. And I think they'll probably believe that they can do that. And I think that's probably a fair assessment. Going into the competition, the game itself, the German camp have been very modest and coy in saying, you know, well, Germany, or rather France, are the hosts, so therefore they are the favourites. But I think they are very confident in their own ability to, at the very least, match France.
That's interesting what you say there, that you were more worried about the Italy game than the France game, because we know France have got a real potent set of attacking players when they come forward. But you do mention the vulnerability there at the back for France as well. So I can kind of see where you're coming from. Looking back at the Italy game, by the way, we need to mention that. It was largely German domination in the game. It ended up going all the way to penalties. And then what happened in that penalty shootout? That's the worst German penalty shootout ever, probably, isn't it?
Yeah, there was some stat going around just before the penalty shootout. They hadn't missed a penalty in the European Championship since, the 80s, I think it was. And all of a sudden, they missed two. And it was great entertainment for the neutral, but it was sheer drama. But I think that they also deserve some applause for the manner in which they kept their head against Italy, because you have to remember that there's a huge mental block whenever Germany do come up against Italy. And this kind of seems as though this team, after winning the World Cup, does seem to have a kind of, mental pedigree that just means they can go out and get stuff done. I think the best way probably to describe it, and I've actually said to you on this podcast through the competition, that, Germany have never once looked like standout favourites for the competition, but where we've seen the likes of Spain and now Italy and, of course, England, stumble when it mattered, we've just seen Germany consistently just getting the job done. And I think that's actually down to the mental ability of these players. They know how they're all winners. They've all won the Champions League. Most of this team have won the World Cup. And they just know how to win things, really. And I think that's something that's just a simple mentality the footballers need nowadays, is something that's not often talked about. We're all so interested in how fast a player is or how skillful he is. But at the end of the day, I think just their mental ability to not choke when the pressure's on them is just as important. And I think this is what this Germany team really has over most of the teams in the competition. I think it's certainly something they have over this French team as well.
Yeah, you always have to bring up England, don't you? how did Germany win this then? Do you think they get it done in 90 minutes, or do you think it could be another long one, or how do you see it going?
I think, as you said, Germany did dominate the Italian game for large parts, and I think that's something that Löw will probably hope to do again. He will be without Khedira, and he will be without Gomez and Mats Hummels, which means that there will be some changes. Expect to see Benedikt Hoveders come in for Mats Hummels, and I think Germany will play a back four. And we're probably going to see Bastian Schweinsteiger start in Khedira's role at least for a half. I'm not sure if he has a full 90 minutes in him, but there are players who can come off the bench and replace him in the second half. So I expect to see Germany at the very least try and dominate as they did against Italy. And if they can do that, I think they'll probably have much more luck than they did against a really quite outstanding Italian defence. So I think Germany are going to win this within 90 minutes. And I actually think it's probably going to be 2-0 to Germany.
Right, okay, Germany to win to nil then in this game. 15-20 in the match betting. I'll try and find the price for Germany to win to nil as we go along, while I'm just asking you a follow-up question, because you mentioned there that Gomez is missing. He's been good for Germany in this tournament. That's going to be a big miss, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it will be a big miss. I think if you'd asked me before the competition if an injury to Mario Gomez would have made much a big difference, I would have been quite blasé on the topic, but just the simple manner in which he plays football, the type of player he is, does mean that Germany don't have that option up front. I think what we now will see is Thomas Müller probably start up front as the lone striker, which would be quite interesting because he hasn't scored goals at all. He actually hasn't scored at all in this competition. He was asked about this at the pre-match press conference on Tuesday, and he was a little bit amused by it. He said that, you know, goals aren't something that really bother him. Quite famously, after winning the World Cup, a reporter asked him about winning the Golden Boot, and using a few expletives, which I won't mention on your podcast, he's basically said, "I don't care about the Golden Boot, I just won the World Cup." And he's quite happy to admit that as long as the team are winning, he doesn't really care about scoring goals. But now that he will be playing up front as a lone striker, I really do expect him to possibly maybe try and pick up a goal. I think he probably will be looking at his French back line and think, okay, this is the kind of team I really should be scoring against. I mean, it's quite fair to suggest that he might have got lost in a really good Italian defence, but if he's starting up front as a lone striker for Germany, I really do expect him to score if Germany do hope to go on and win the game.
Okay, Thomas Müller to break his Euros duck. 21-10 for him to score any time, 11-2 first and last. I said I was going to try and find prices for Germany to win to nil. Well, it's 3-1 for Germany to win to nil. And Germany to keep a clean sheet, by the way, for anybody who just thinks they can shoot out this French side, is 17-10. Let's just have a little bit of a summary then, Stefan, before you go. Talk through what you expect to see on Thursday night, and therefore what would be your best bets.
Yeah, well, I reckon what we'll probably see is a French team that certainly offer plenty of threat and attack, and I think there will be a few scary moments for Germany, the German defence, which won't have Mats Hummels. But I think ultimately it will be another game in which we see Toni Kroos in the middle of the pitch dominating the ball and possession, and just Germany just constricting the play within the French half, as we have seen them do throughout the competition. So I think it's going to be another dominant performance from Germany. I think they will ultimately pick off France for a 2-0 win within the 90 minutes.
If you think that's going to be the case, Thomas Müller to score any time and Germany to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 8-1. Anybody who fancies that. And Thomas Müller to score and Germany to win in the 90 minutes, 5-1. So a couple of interesting headline offers. Thank you very much, Stefan. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. And depending on what happens on Thursday night, we may be speaking to you again ahead of the final.
Well, let's hope so. I'll speak to you soon. Thanks very much.
So that's Stefan Biankowski then. Sounds pretty confident there, doesn't he? Let's get the flip side of it and get the thoughts of Andrew Gibney, who is our French expert on these Euros punt podcasts. I spoke to him earlier in the day as well, and I asked him, are France priced up as favourites because they're the hosts, or does he think that they should be favourites on form?
I think that there's definitely something about being the home nation, especially France's record of winning the Euros back in 84, winning the World Cup 98 on home soil, so there's definitely that expectation. But I think on the balance of play, probably the quarterfinal against Iceland was the first time France have turned up in the first half, and they put Iceland to the sword, showed England how it could be done. And Germany have probably stuttered and stalled a little bit. They were okay in the group stage. They were all right against Italy, maybe lucky to get past that penalty shootout. So maybe on the balance of play, you can see why France are sort of ahead in the odds and the favourite stakes.
Yeah, I don't know why people keep bringing up England, by the way, but that happened in the preview that I did with the Germany guy as well.
It's because I'm Scottish.
Yeah, so is he as well. but yeah, France really did put Iceland to the sword there. They scored plenty of goals. They did show that little bit of vulnerability at the back still, though.
Yeah, I mean, the defence has been the issue all the way through the tournament. But then, I suppose, on the flip side, you have to say they were 4-0 up against Iceland at the time. You concede one. They went back up a gear again, scored the fifth, and then switched off again. So you just wonder how much you can play into that, them conceding two. But remember, Germany is going to be the biggest test that this back four has faced. Patrice Evra is a massive worry at left back. He doesn't get the same cover as he does with Juventus. Adil Rami's possibly going to come back in after his suspension. You worry about him against pace if someone like Götze starts, or against like Draxler and Ozil. So it's definitely worries in the defence, but I think the attacking performance sort of outweighs that. They'll look and be sort of confident of causing the Germans as much problems as they can cause them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the players in the French team as well. You've got Griezmann, who's contending to be top scorer at the competition. You've got Payet, who's also in that mix and could be named player of the tournament, the way his performances have been going. And Giroud's obviously popping up with goals as well now. There's goals in this French side. Do you think it'll be an open game then? Could it be Germany might score, but you're thinking France might score more?
I think both teams to score is definitely worthwhile looking at, because as I said, France defence, and I think I've said that most times I've been on here, and it's not done me wrong yet. Iceland scored, Ireland scored, so there's no reason to think that Germany can't score. But yeah, I think it's got to be open, because France can't really afford to sit back. They don't have the defence, or even the defensive midfielders, even if N'Golo Kanté comes back, to really sort of sit deep and hold Germany. And I think Germany, with Hummels out, with Schweinsteiger, Khedira, those guys missing, they really can't sit back either. So I suppose it's going to be a Newcastle-Liverpool style 4-3 if both teams just sort of take the gloves off and go for it.
Yeah, that would be quite entertaining from a neutral. I'd quite like to see that happen. But who would you like to score for France? And you got any opinion in the goal scorer markets?
I think you have to look at Giroud, 9 goals in his last 9 games, 2 against Iceland. He looks really confident. He's definitely one to look at. And I think Pogba again as well, especially from set pieces with Hummels out, France might just have that size advantage as well. And he's starting to motor nicely, and he could turn up at the right time to lift his nation and sort of fulfil that prophecy of being the star. And it definitely would be if he got them into the final.
He had a good game, didn't he, in the quarterfinal as well?
Mm. Yeah, his passing was immense. The goal for Griezmann's goal, it was the pass through Giroud flicked on. Nice bit of vision. And yeah, he's just starting to look a lot better, a lot more comfortable in this team.
Mm. Let's add some more bets to this then. Match result in both teams to score. France are 11-2 in that market, so they'd win the game, both teams to score. That's something you've mentioned you quite like.
Yeah, I quite fancy it. I definitely think both teams will score, and I have to favour France. I'd maybe look at, it might not be 4-3, I'd maybe go 2-1 to France if we're looking at a score prediction. I think that makes a lot of sense on both sides.
Yeah, 10-1 for France to win 2-1. Just mention some enhanced odds offers that we have here as well. Get your thoughts on these. Antoine Griezmann to score any time in a France win, in a France 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 win rather. That was 7-1, that's now 8-1. Olivier Giroud to score any time, France to win and both teams to score. That was 11-1, that's now 12-1. And Giroud to score and France to win in 90 minutes, that was 18-5, that's now 5-1. Any of those take your fancy here?
I also mentioned the Giroud one. I think Griezmann as well. He looks a lot more settled now, because he looked. I was at the Albania game, and you just watched his body language when he came on. Even when he scored the goal that broke the deadlock, he looked sort of frustrated and a bit anxious. Same against Switzerland. But those goals against Ireland and then the goal against Iceland, there was no. His hang-ups are sort of gone. He's got that weight off his shoulder. I think he was burdened a bit by the expectation as well, and he looks a lot happier. And playing off Giroud, you got to fancy he's going to get chances. especially the Germany missing Hummels. And if the other defenders are sort of concentrating on Giroud, Griezmann definitely a good chance of nicking a goal.
Summary then, just talk through your thoughts for one final time. Andrew, what do you expect to happen then on Thursday night?
I definitely expect both teams to score, both defences. France definitely looked shaky all through the tournament. Germany without some key players. France's attack starting to burn out. So I'm looking for a France win, possibly 2-1, and definitely both teams to score.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Good luck. Good luck on Thursday night. And
Thank you.
We might be speaking to you again at the final.
Definitely. Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, a bit of a staunch head-to-head there with between our two specialised pundits. Stefan Biankowski very confident that Germany will win, and Andrew Gibney seems quite sweet on the chances of France. It really is a tight game, as the betting shows there. Not much in the betting. 15-8 Germany. The draw 19-10. France are 9-5. Should be a bit of a cracker as well. A bit more trivia before we go. Which team have appeared at the most European Championships? Which team have appeared at the most European Championships? Germany. They have appeared at 11 different European Championships. So that will stand them in good stead, I'm sure, ahead of Thursday evening's game against France. And we'll finish off with the quiz question I asked you right at the very start of the podcast. Which country in Europe has the most McDonald's restaurants per capita? Well, the answer is Sweden. Sweden has more McDonald's per capita than anywhere else in Europe. So now you know that fact as well. Let's finish off by saying if you want to hear full betting commentary on the game on Thursday night, you can tune into William Hill In Play Radio, and keep an eye on Twitter as well, at Will Hill In Play and at Will Hill Bet. There's price updates, enhanced odds offers and more on there. And you'll also be able to find the links to these podcasts throughout the remainder of the tournament. But in the meantime, good luck if you're having a bet. Enjoy the game on Thursday evening, and we'll speak to you again ahead of the final.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.